If anyone had earned the right to say, "I told you so," it was the prophet Jeremiah. He had warned the Israelites that their sinful defiance would bear serious consequences, but his caution was ignored. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll describes the ugly aftermath of Jerusalem's destruction and hostile takeover by the Babylonians. It's a pitiful scene of God's judgment on people who should have known better. This message, delivered just a short while ago, helps us imagine the troubling comparison between Israel's sin and the rebellion so prevalent in 2020. Chuck begins with prayer.
Bring before the Lord whatever is heavy on your heart. Maybe a friend in need. Maybe someone you love very much going through a very difficult time of testing. Maybe one of your children, now grown and gone. Maybe something from your past that's haunting you. You need to get past it as the Lord deals with it in your life so that it can once again be well in your soul. Our needs are many and our time is short. We realize, our Father, that you have the words of eternal life. Turning to others is really a study in futility. They too are troubled. They too are neck deep in needs. So today we call upon you, as Jeremiah often did, and we wait upon you, our Father, to bring about peace in a time of chaos and hope in the midst of trials. Provide for us rest and a sense of anticipation that you are at work, and we rest in that thought. We long for it to be well deep within our souls, Lord. We long for that abiding presence of the Spirit of God to take over and to quiet our hearts, to give us a sense of relief. Some are very sick today. We pray for their recovery. We pray for their patience as they endure. There are many who care for the sick today. We pray for their strength, that they might be able to go on from day to day. We all, our Father, turn to you in this time of need, and we wait upon you to provide what we cannot provide for ourselves. Meet the needs of our church, the need to reach out to those around us. Continue to give us a vision for those who are lost, those who are hungry, those who are broken and confused, those who need direction. I pray for the fathers in our congregation. I pray that you would give them a renewed sense of direction as they, as fathers in the home, provide stability and a reason for the children to trust in them. Keep them strong and pure and give them a wholesome view of their family. We pray for mothers who minister to their children and ask you to give them strength as well. Show us how to do that, Lord, and give us the vision to see beyond what's on the evening news. We realize that you speak to us in times like that, but there's more that you have to say than what we hear or see. May we take that message personally, and may it lead us to decisions that must be made that will help not only our lives, but the lives of those about us. Give our leaders direction Give those in difficult places encouragement. Give all of us hope that it may be well with our souls. As you meet our needs, Father, please provide for us financially as we trust you through the giving of your people to sustain this work. And we trust you with these things, our Father, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, None But the Lonely Heart.
I don't know of another book that is like this one among the 66 that frame the books of the Bible. This is a record, one chapter after another in this elegant acrostic piece of poetry that records the consequences of sin. This is as though the city who is speaking, you remember, is testifying at her own funeral. She stands to speak, and she speaks through the pen of the prophet. Look at the three stark contrasts that pack verse 1. Jerusalem, once full of people, is now deserted. The once is back then, the now is here, here and now. So that's the contrast. Once busy, once full of people, now deserted. Look at the second one. She was once great among the nations. Why? The people looked at the flag flying over Jerusalem, the Star of David, the envy of other nations, and they saw her as great. But now, sits alone like a widow. Once the queen of all the earth, but now a slave. All of those people who left the city left as slaves. You know the heartbreak and what makes Jeremiah cry? It need not have been. If you had only acknowledged the wrong of your way and repented and turned back to God. She sobs through the night, tears stream down her cheeks among all her lovers. There's no one left to comfort her. All her friends betrayed her and become her enemies. Judah has been led away into captivity, oppressed with, he says it again, cruel slavery, has no place of rest. You know, this reminds me of, let's take the individual who has broken the law. And this person finds himself or herself in the courtroom. The jury has found that person guilty. And the judge has sentenced the individual to years in prison. This is written to people who were free, who had known the blessing and the pleasure of God, but they closed their ears to the prophet's words, and the consequences are just one page after another after another. And you get tired of reading it. I know you're tired of hearing it. We're just getting started. It's the lamentations of a broken-hearted man who must have said to himself every night, it need not have been. It need not have been. This is not written to prisoners, it's written to a city, a body of people. And the result was not fate. It wasn't just running with the wrong crowd. You know the result? I'm going to just say it like it was. It was the judgment of God. He says it. Verse 5, Her oppressors have become her masters. Her enemies prosper for the Lord. There it is, Yahweh. Personal name for the living God. For the Lord has punished Jerusalem. Make no mistake, it's the judgment of God. Verse 12, does it mean nothing to you, all you who pass by? Look around and see if there is any suffering like mine, says the city, which the Lord brought on me when he erupted in fierce anger. Verse 14, he wove my sins into ropes to hitch me to a yoke of captivity. Eloquent way to put it. The Lord sapped my strength and turned me over to my enemies. 15, the Lord has treated my mighty men with contempt. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, all the way through. May I remind all of us, our God is a jealous God. He's a holy God. He doesn't share his glory with any other. He's not one among many gods. He is the one and only God. This is not one among many references to his mind and his word. This is the reference. This is the document. This is the direction to follow. Printed in our language so that we can read it regularly. Right here. And all the way through, he tells us the truth. He alone is the Lord. We have Jeremiah to thank for the analogy. He's the potter, we're the clay. He's the master, we're the servant. He's the one who gives the vision, we're the one who follows that vision. It doesn't work the other way around. He isn't the clay adapting to us as the potter. No, that's backwards. We don't call the shots in life, he does. And while I don't mean this literally, since he's not playing around, he plays for keeps. He's serious. And when you mess around with what he has told you to do, if I may, when I mess around with what he has told me to do, the simple fact is there is hell to pay. It's a hellacious consequence. This book is full of them. It's my task as a faithful minister of the gospel to speak not to prisoners, but to speak to people who are free, thank the Lord, who have a choice, who have choices to make every day, between right and wrong, between thinking correctly or incorrectly, between reacting or overreacting and responding to him, between forgiving and holding grudges, between being kind and considerate or being prejudiced and hateful. Choices every day. Don't tell me how your folks were. Don't tell me how bad your background is. None of that provides excuses. You answer for you. You'll not give an account for your parents, nor will I. As good or as questionable as they may have been, you give account for your life. Hold your place here for just a moment and go back and look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah 2. Now, you know what we've done? We've gone back 40 years, about roughly 40 years from where we were in Lamentation. We've gone back to when he was a younger man, back when he was just getting started in this work of preaching and prophesying. So he's now gotten the message from the Lord, verse 1. The Lord gave me another message, so it's the Lord's message. Let me cut to the chase, verse 12. The heavens are shocked at such a thing and shrink back in horror and dismay, he's telling the people, says the Lord. He's giving the Lord's message. For my people have done two evil things. It's pretty clear. Any child that can count to two can understand this. One, they have abandoned me, the fountain of living water. And two, they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. All of this in picturesque language, as poets write and prophets prophesy. They have passed up the water of life that I'm free to give out, and infinite in mercy, and filled with grace and love and mercy, ready to for you to relish in the living water, and you turned your back on it. And you chose to dig your own cisterns, and they're cracked. They don't even hold water. We perhaps get that saying from that. That doesn't hold water. When you follow thinking that doesn't hold water, it's wrong thinking. When it comes from the Lord, it's sealed, it's secure, it's full of hope, truth, reward, satisfaction, fulfillment, peace, and 100 other things we could name. But my people have chosen another path to follow. If I were to take my time to go further, he would talk about the city has died. The city has died. Now, it doesn't mean everyone in it is a corpse. It means they are death-like in their existence. It's lost its dynamic, its purpose, its calling. Erosion has taken hold, and it's drifted from its purpose when it was a great city under David, when its boundaries were expanding and the people listened to the one who led them into the truth of God, and they followed. No longer. Not now. Jeremiah sees the loneliest day in the Jewish calendar fast approaching, July 586. That's when they would fall. The siege would reach its climax, and they would no longer be what they were. These are consequences that come as a result of doing what is wrong. Some time back, I read Francis Schaeffer's work, Death in the City. Listen to this prophet. We live in a post-Christian world. How should we look at this post-Christian world and function as Christians in it? The church in our generation needs reformation, revival, and constructive revolution. From what perspective should we be looking at our post-Christian world? Certainly, every Christian should have two reactions to our generation. The first one will surprise you, unfortunately. Two reactions to our generation. The first is that we should cry. C-R-Y. That we should cry. It should break our hearts. It should strike us deep within our emotions before it ever reaches our will. It should drop us to our knees when we realize the suffering has come from wrongdoing and a history of wrongdoing. The first is that we should cry because we watch our culture being destroyed. Not only that individual men and women are lost, but that the whole culture is being destroyed as well. He continues, the second reaction is that we should be aware. We should be aware that insofar as the culture was built on biblical Reformation thought and that the generations preceding us have turned from that truth, there must be death in the city unless there is a turning to that truth. We must know it will be. That's where we are right now, men and women. That's where we are. We are at the crossroads, perhaps for some of this generation, first time realizing what's happening. Not everything that's happening is good and right and defendable, but it's happening. If nothing else, it's grabbed our attention. It's kept us awake late into the night, maybe during the night. If I may, Schaeffer continues, when Jeremiah says there is death in the city, the specific city spoken of is Jerusalem, but the word city may be extended further. It can be related to the Greek word polis, P-O-L-I-S, the sociological group or culture. Thus, because God is dealing with a culture that has turned away, Jeremiah has only one thing to say. There's death in the city. That was true of Jeremiah's day, and it is true in our day. And then Francis Schaeffer presses hard with his pen as he concludes the chapter with these words. Talk about relevant. I am amazed at the evangelical leaders who have been taken by surprise at the changes that have come in our culture. We should have predicted them. We should have predicted them. There's bound to be death in the city once people turn away from the base upon which the culture was built. Our generation needs to be told that we cannot disregard God, that a culture like ours that is deliberately turned away stands under God's judgment. God is a God of grace, but the other side of that coin is judgment. Then he ends, there's only one kind of preaching that will do in a generation like ours, preaching that includes the judgment of God, which you're hearing today.
This is a promise from Insight for Living Ministries and our Bible teacher, Chuck Swindoll. On this program, you'll be fed the whole counsel of God, even the parts that are difficult to digest. And I can warn you that the Bible teaching featured this week on Insight for Living deals with God's wrath and anger as we continue our study in Lamentations. It's a book Chuck has coined, Jeremiah's Journal of Woes. It's a good time to remind you that in addition to the program, Chuck has provided helpful study notes for every message you hear on Insight for Living. And you're invited to take advantage of this online resource, and you can even print out the PDF and share the notes with your friends. The Searching the Scriptures studies reside online at insightworld.org/studies. You know, it seems all we hear these days is bad news. But I can assure you there's a lot of good news arriving at Insight for Living. One friend recently left a message that said, "Dear Pastor Swindoll, I live in Cuba." And then in all caps, "Thank you for being an instrument of our Lord." Another said, "I found the love of Christ and the hope found only in Him through your message over the airwaves. It literally changed the course of my life and the lives of my children." Well, these two comments represent a sliver of the global audience that's studying God's Word with us every single day. And to those who give, we're very grateful because we couldn't reach the world without you. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org. Thank you for your generous support of this nonprofit ministry. Most of us have been heartbroken to witness civil unrest in the public square, eclipsing the urgent medical needs imposed by the global pandemic. At Insight for Living Ministries, we believe there's never been a better time to extend God's grace to those in need.
In this emotionally charged era where shouting matches are commonplace, where people feel voiceless and overlooked and even condemned, would you be among those who give generously so that we can spread the fragrance of God's grace to those desperate for a second chance?
We're looking to add more monthly companions to the team. Become a monthly companion today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion.
My friend, more than ever, Insight for Living Ministries is determined to serve as a lavish garden for people all around the world who long to smell the aroma of God's matchless grace. A safe place where imperfect, sinful people are forgiven, taught the truth, and redeemed.
To become a monthly companion, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe Jeremiah's Journal of Woes, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, None But the Lonely Heart, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2020 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.